You're so good. God, you're so good.
Hallelujah.
God, you're so time.
God, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, amen. We give God praise for his faithfulness. I want to welcome you all to this time of prayer and intercession. I know the Lord will meet with us here tonight. Hallelujah. God says to us, the Lord says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Find that in the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, I believe, in verse 1. And he speak a parable unto them to this end, this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I find that a remarkable statement to make, because what he's saying is we always have to stay in faith, even when it seems like you're not getting the answer that you're looking for. Just stick with it. Stick with it. And the end result is you're going to get what you're looking for. You're going to get it. Even if he didn't want to give it to you before, you're going to get it. And that's remarkable. So it is important that we know what we're praying about, because if we're going to stick with it, we want to make certain that we are praying to right for the right thing and believing for the right thing. Because ultimately, you will get what you're praying and believing for. In this particular parable, he talks about a judge that didn't care about God or even consider people, didn't care about anybody. This is my job, this is what I say, and this is what's going to go. And there's this woman who tags him and says, avenge me of my adversary. And he says, after a while, I better do what she's saying, because she's going to wear me out. Watch this statement. God says we ought always to pray and not to faint. And God tells us that he, as God, does not faint. And he compares that judge to himself. That if we persisted enough, we're going to wear him out. Just take it already. The point is, there is no time that we should step out of faith. If we stay in faith, God will respond. He will respond. There is no doubt about it. In about verse 8, he makes this statement. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Verse 7 makes a statement. Verse 7. He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? And we are his elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Though it's like he's not doing what they're asking for, he says, isn't God going to respond? Is he not going to avenge his own elect of their adversaries? He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, even though it's slow in coming. But when he responds, it's like a tsunami. It just cleans the whole thing. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, when does he come? When he cometh to answer, shall he find faith on the earth? When he comes, will he still find us faithful? Well, the reason we're praying tonight is because we believe that he is faithful and that he will not deny us. Since men ought always to pray, and In another passage, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. God will respond. He will respond speedily. The answers will be there, and what you need shall be addressed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to pray tonight. Again, the Word of God is very specific. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, he says, pray without ceasing. So what have you been talking to God about that seems to not be bulging? You're saying to the mountain, mountain, be thou removed. But then the word of the Lord says, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. If you say to the mountain, move, and it moved, there's no reason to doubt. It's because that mountain is saying, I don't think you're talking to me. Don't you know I'm a mountain? I can't move because I have no legs. Have you lost your mind or something? Asking me to move? No, I've not lost my mind. I'm saying move. Move, you are going to move. One way or the other. You don't move, by the time I get there, I will bulldoze you out of there. One way or the other, you're moving. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're going to believe God to move mountains for us. Mountains that stand in our families. Mountains that stand regarding our finances, our relationships. Mountains that stand against the word of the Lord, the work of the Lord, this church, other churches of God. Mountains that stand resisting the body of Christ. Whatever the mountains are, they got to move. Hallelujah. They got to move. We are not negotiating the point. And whatever God needs to do, he has to do. Because we will fulfill the mandate of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So let us get started. Let's rise and just give God thanks for his grace, the sufficiency of grace that is given to us to be able to stand steadfast and faithful. Because it takes God's grace to be able to stand. It takes God's capacity in us not to faint, because we are waiting on the Lord. Whatever the situation is, whatever the challenge, it might be somebody struggling with a particular sin in their lives, and they've been crying out to God, God, deliver me from this sin. And it seems like the more they pray, the more the situation tries to anchor itself. God is saying, pray without ceasing. This is an enemy. This is an enemy. Maybe it's a financial situation. You can't seem to make it. You take one step forward, and then it's two steps backwards. And instead of getting ahead, you're getting behind. You're doing everything that you know how to do, and you're still struggling financially. Whatever the mountain is, Let us talk to the Lord about it right now. Lord, the mountains your people face are varied. Mountains of lawsuits, mountains of health situations, mountains of financial circumstances, mountains, oh God, of marriages being strained and stressed, mountains, oh God, of churches being stifled spiritually, numerically, financially, and otherwise, whatever the mountains are, Lord, oh God, as your people, we have been crying out to you. And Lord, oh God, tonight we thank you that your word is true. You said you will respond speedily and avenge us of our adversaries. And Lord, oh God, today we cry out, deal with every adversary. Deal with every adversary. Lord, oh God, the satanic forces that have come against your people, Lord, oh God, deal with them. Lord, oh God, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, oh God, deal with them. Deal with it now. Lord, oh God, the powers and influence of the spirit of witchcraft and wizardry and occultism, Lord, oh God, has come against your people. Lord, oh God, Masonic activities that have come against your people. Father, oh God, deal with them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare, oh God, that there be a swift response from you this day. Lord, oh God, to tear down the strongholds of the enemy and to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. For Lord, oh God, this day we speak your word. We send your word as an evil-seeking missile to deal with every adversary, to deal with every principality, every power, all rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness that have come against your people, come against families, come against your church, come against, oh God, every aspect of God in the lives of your people. Lord, oh God, wherever the restraint is or the restraining is coming from, the resistance is, oh God, from the enemy, this day, oh God, let the clap of the Father, oh God, smack, oh God, the hard on the powers of the enemy and shatter strongholds. Let mountains, oh God, be shaken out of their foundations even now and be hauled into the sea. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the landscape change swiftly and immediately. Lord, oh God, we trust your word. We trust your word. We trust your word. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, the unchanging changer, faithful in all of your ways. You will do the right thing by your people. Lord, oh God, even as Jacob wrestled with the angel, so Lord, oh God, we wrestle, oh God, today, and we say, oh Father, let your blessing be made manifest in our lives. Let your blessing be made manifest in your church. Let your blessings be made manifest, oh God, in our families. Let, oh God, these issues, great or small, be addressed now. Lord, oh God, sweep out, oh God, and carry away everything that is contrary to our well-being. By the authority of your glorious name, we speak that name that is above every other name, that name that will cause every knee to bow. That name we pronounce now, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, our Emmanuel. We call upon you, for you are here with us. You are God with us, and where you are, there is liberty. So, Lord, oh God, we declare liberty for your people tonight. Liberty, oh God, in every area. Liberty, oh God, in every realm. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that, oh God, even as favor came upon Esther, so, Lord, oh God, favor is coming upon your people. And, Lord, oh God, the activities of the Hamans of this world have been brought to naught in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you that the enemy who sought our damage, our demise, is entrapped into his own entrapments. In Jesus' name, let the snare of the enemy snare the enemy. And let your people escape from the lies, the deceptions, and the issues that the enemy of our soul wants to bring into our lives. We say no to Satan, and we say yes to you, O God. Have your way in our lives. You are a good, good God, and we give you praise for all things. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, we'll look at Proverbs chapter 3. That is our main thrust in prayer tonight. The Word of God tells us about the preeminence of the Word of God, how important it should be to us as the people of God. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 1. The writer says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. That means certainly that our hearts are not hardened to God. A heart that keeps the commandments of God is a heart that has not embraced disappointment. When we allow ourselves to be disappointed because we've not received something that we believe in for, then the word of God that He has declared into our hearts for us is set aside. And when we do that, we fail. Right here in Proverbs 3, he says, forget not my law. Don't forget it. Don't forget what I said. Don't set it aside. In other words, don't minimize the importance of the Word of God. If the Word of God is telling us about that, then you know for certain that the enemy of our soul wants us to forget it. Forget the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about my health? What does the Word of God say about my family? What does the Word of God say about His church? Did He actually say that the gates of hell would not prevail over His church? So why is it that we want to panic? What's going to happen? The world is falling apart. What is going to happen to us? And blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Well, you've forgotten His word. And says, let thine heart keep my commandments. He says, let your heart keep my commandments. Why? Because that's the way you're not going to forget the word of God. And right there is the word but. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Don't be hardened to my words. Many years ago, I remember sharing this with you. The Lord spoke to me. He said that His word, His promise, are commands to be obeyed. Every word of His is a command to be obeyed. His promises are commandments to be obeyed. And so I stopped for a moment because that was a very serious word. And I said, are you saying that when your word says by His stripes I am healed, that that's a command to be obeyed? He said, yes. I said, how do we play that? How does that work? He says, you tell your body to obey the word of God. Oh, I said, oh, that's an interesting twist. Something's happening to me that does not line up with the word of God. I tell my body, just like I say to that mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, you straighten up right now. Obey the word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Kidney, obey the word of the Lord. Pancreas, obey the word of the Lord. Liver, obey the word of the Lord. Be healed. Obey that word now. Well, the authority to declare to my body that it has to obey is tied up to the fact that I, as an individual, in my mind, I'm obeying God. Remember the statement of the centurion, I'm a man under authority. Just like you. You say to that servant, go there, and you come here, and they do exactly what I say because I am under authority. He says, you're the same. Just send the word only. Just speak the word. And my servant is going to be healed because I know that you're a man under authority. Hallelujah. So, we're going to pray this prayer. Lord, help me to be obedient to your word so that everything around me becomes obedient to your word. Amen? That's a very deep prayer. Because, you know, see, let's flip it this way. You reap what you sow. If I'm not obedient to the word of God, how can everything else be obedient to me? They're obedient and subject to me because I'm subject to God. And it starts with not forgetting the law, the word of God, and keeping that word in my heart. Why am I keeping it? So that I observe it. Amen? Let's pray that prayer. Rise with me. God, help me to be obedient to your word, keeping your word, and therefore all things becoming subject to the authority that I'm operating by because I am subject to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for grace. Your word says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Lord, oh God, we come before you knowing, oh God, that there's a lifting in you. Yes, there is. There's a lifting in you. There is a lifting in you. There is a capacity, O God, that is given to us to operate by the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because first and foremost, we are obedient to your word. We keep your word. We do not forget your word. We are practitioners practicing your word on a daily basis. Lord, O God, you've given us opportunities to practice faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us, O God, this day and always to first and foremost subject ourselves to you, to your authority, and by so doing, have everything else subject to us. When men stop being subject to you, then life became difficult for him. He had thorns and thistles to battle with. Lord, O God, we refuse the lifestyle of difficulty. We subject ourselves to your sovereign lordship. So, Lord, O God, that all things will be subject to us because we are subject to you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, Hallelujah. Praise God. It says when we obey the word of God, it says length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The word of God, the commandment of God obeyed, will grant you length of days and long life. Now, on the surface, length of days and long life seem to be the same thing. And in a great sense, it is. But they are just as different as they are similar. Length of days, we know that we have 24 hours in the day. 24 hours in a day. And you can spend all the 24 hours trying to accomplish something, struggling, you know, to do this and do that. And but you can be in the blessing, and what would have taken you 15 hours to do gets done in 2 hours. Now that's length of days. Because now you are accomplishing more things within that 15 hours. You are doing things that will take you a year to do, and you finish with it in a week, 2 weeks. Now you're doing things that you would have done 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and accomplishing all of that in a short space of time. That's length of days. Amen? That's length of days. And that is the release of favor on your life. You know, there's so many people that struggle through life and the blessing is not there because they have not held on to the first principle of the Word of God. And so life is hard. You have to struggle through things. But when you have the Word of God, length of days becomes an interesting factor. The other aspect of length of days, which seems to be interesting and it's a flip, is that length of days, we know that it's 24 hours in the day. We know that. And let's say, for example, good example would be Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. He's going to die. And for sure he died. But length of days is that after he's dead, what Jesus wanted to accomplish for him to live, he still accomplishes it. So you might come to a time in your life where it seems like it's too late. It's too late. This can't happen anymore. It's too late. There is a restart that gives you length of days. So you are 90 years old and now you're having a child. That's length of days. Make sense? So length of days works on both ends. Whether it is things are happening so fast or things happening after the fact, but still in order. So you accomplish whatever it is you need to accomplish because of the Word of God. That second one sometimes is difficult for us to deal with because that means that you got to be patient. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. See how it all comes together? God is good. So we're going to ask God. He says, length of days, long life, and peace. The shalim, the shalom of God. Shall they add? It adds it to thee. It adds length of days to you. It adds long life to you. It adds peace to you. Now, why do you say add? You say add because there is a certain amount that you had. So this is extra. Praise the Lord. So you live longer than you were supposed to live. Hallelujah. Nothing hindering you. You still, you know, in their old age, like palm tree, they are still flourishing. That's it. That's it right there. And what brings it about? The Word of God. Not good life gym. And I should go. Hallelujah. That's not what going to add it. God. God's Word adds it. Now, God's Word may tell you what to eat and what to drink and all of that. It's all part of the package. What does the Word of God say? So my faith is founded in the Word of God. So let's pray that prayer. God, help me to connect with the amazing blessings that you have ordained for my life. Let's pray that prayer. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for your family. Pray it for the church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we receive all that you have for us. We receive all that you have for us. And we thank you, Lord, O God, for this addition, the addition, O God, of length of days, the addition of long life, the addition of peace. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, that you are adding to our lives. And, Lord, O God, we are flourishing. Lord, O God, we thank you, Lord, O God, that we are flourishing even in old age. We are flourishing. We are flourishing. Young men do faint and fall apart. But they that wait upon you have your spirit. They don't faint. They find security. They mount on wings like eagles and they run and are not weary. They walk and they don't faint. Thank you, Lord God, for long life. Thank you, Lord, for length of days. The capacity to accomplish everything and not live life with regrets, but celebrating every day because your goodness is revealed unto us. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God, help me to connect with the amazing blessings that you have ordained for my life, my family, my church, and the body of Christ. Praise God. Let's go on to the next verse. Proverbs 3:3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. I think it's Proverbs 6 and verse 16 that tell us about how mercy and truth purge, sanctify us, cleanse us from iniquities. So when the Word of God tells us, let not mercy and truth forsake you, don't let mercy, don't let truth leave you. Wow. Notice what it did not say. It didn't say, let not you, don't you forsake mercy and truth. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say, don't you forsake mercy and truth. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. And then it says, bind them about thy neck. Now, what does that mean? It means that it is very easy for mercy and truth to forsake you. Now that is an issue. Based on what? Not holding on to the Word of God. When you don't hold on to the Word of God, mercy and truth will leave you. Because mercy and truth thrive where the Word of God is. Where the Word of God is not, mercy and truth don't want to be there. And people who do not have the Word of God, you find them hard, difficult to deal with. What causes people to walk truly in love is because mercy and truth is there. And the reason mercy and truth is there is because the Word of God is there. Now that's interesting, because there are those who say, I'm just trying to deal with the truth here. And they are hard, wicked, stiff-necked, not dealing with love. When people are dealing without compassion, empathy, love, and they are quoting the Bible, you know they don't have it. Because if you have it, you break down for somebody that's struggling. You feel for them. Even though you know they are wrong, even though you know that they should be hauled out of here, love draws you. Mercy is pulled out because it is present in the Word of God. A true sign that somebody is not walking with God is that they become hardened. Not only in relationship with God, they become hardened to people around them. They don't feel anything. They have no understanding. Life is just black and white, right and wrong. Now, if God just deals with us with just right and wrong, I don't think the rain is going to be pouring on everybody. But he still says, don't let mercy and truth leave you. Don't let it leave you. What is the deeper sense of that statement? He's saying to us that you must hold firmly to mercy, but you must hold also firmly to truth. Truth sometimes will say to you, no mercy, because you deserve this. But when justice is tempered with mercy, on one hand, you knock, on the other hand, you pull in. Prodigal son. But where is the father? Arms wide open. God did the same thing. Adam, where art thou? What does he do? Sees them with leaves, and God shed the first blood, skins an animal, and covers their nakedness. Life is going to be hard, but guess what? You, woman, pain and struggles started right here, but through you a seed is going to come forth that's going to deal with this issue. Yeah, so that person is drunk, a drug addict, or whatever. Can God still turn that life around? Yes, he can. It's not going to happen because you are hard-nosed and everything else. If you have to be that, you have to be that. You know, tough love, but let it be love. Let it ultimately be love. I'm doing this for your sake, not because of my name. I'm doing it for you. Amen? So let us cry out to God. Help us to be people that walk and move by mercy and truth, having a balanced life, having a balanced life in relating with myself, because you need mercy and truth for yourself. You need mercy and truth for others. I want to live a balanced life that is graced with the love of God. Graced with the love of God. Pray. Thank you, Father, O God, for the wonderful grace of love, mercy, and truth. Do not forsake me. Do not forsake this body of Christ. Do not forsake this household of faith. We embrace your word, O Most High, and we make the decision to live for you and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. Mercy and truth, abide. You are bound to us, and we live a balanced life because the goodness of God is revealed in and through us. To the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Help us to be a people that walk and move by mercy and truth, having a balanced life, graced with the love of God. Hallelujah. What does that do? When you extend mercy and truth, he says, this is how you're going to find favor. Remember, we start with the word of God. And these are spokes coming out of that core statement of the word of God. He says, you want to find favor? You want favor in your life? He says, that's how you're going to find it. When you have mercy and truth. That's what you're sowing. That's what you're going to get back. You're going to have favor, good understanding, watch this, in the sight of God and man. Bible says concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, grace and truth came through Jesus, or mercy and truth came through Jesus. It says to us in Luke 2, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and man. He was the embodiment of mercy and truth. He displays that with Peter. And Peter had denied him. He was running away from him, risen from the dead. He appears to the disciples and he says, and tell Peter. Let him know, yes, I knew you were going to mess up, but I still love you. The truth is, I know you're going to deny me. I know you're going to do that. When you're restored, strengthen your brethren. Have mercy. This is how you're going to find favor and good understanding. Word of God says, in all of your getting, get understanding. He says, you're going to find good understanding. You're going to know what's really going on. You know, people do all kinds of things. And you don't know what's behind it. The other day I was up in front, and you've heard me say it many times, I don't give money to people on the street. I'll buy you food, but I'll never give you cash. And there was this young man, he has a bad leg. And he asked me, he said, you pastor in the church here? I said, yeah. He said, can I have a Bible? I said, come on Sunday. Come on Sunday. I don't know where the Bibles are placed right now, so I don't, let me not waste your time, you know. He says, so I asked him, do you live close by? He says, no. I live on the street. I said, you live on the street? He said, yes. Wow. And the Lord says, give him $20. I say, that's what you want me to give to him? He said, yeah, give him $20. So I told him, hold on for me. Went in the car, got my wallet, pulled out the 20, and I knew he didn't do drugs, but I just asked anyway, because I was talking to the Lord. I said, you don't do drugs, right? And he said, no, I don't do drugs. You sure now? You don't do drugs? And I said, no, I don't do drugs. I said, here. He said, no. Don't give me anything. I said, no. Here. He said, I don't want your money. I said, I know you don't want it. I'm giving it to you. So he takes it. And he looks down. His eyes welled up in tears. And as he was walking away, he was going like this. I had spoken to him prophetically, and I could see what God was doing right there. God was impacting this man, not just because of the $20, but that somebody stopped to listen, noticed him. And as he walked, his head was bowed down, and he's looking at this money. Oh, God. He needed it. He needed it. And I know deep within him was saying, God, you love me this much? And as he turned around the corner to go down church, he turns around and he looks back. I wanted to start bawling for him. That's all I could do. But it dawned on me, oh man, how many people have come across just a bad turn in their lives? Just a bad turn. You know, sometimes people do things and where they are is where they should be because of the decisions they made. But even still, there is redemption, mercy and truth, having an understanding, listening. So let us pray, God, not only do I want to find favor in the sight, in your sight and the sight of man, grant me good understanding so that I truly care from their heart for people. Just care. You know, just care. To have an understanding. This is life. What can I do to be part of the answer, not part of the problem? Father, we receive the grace to live life that glorifies you, embracing mercy and truth, and by so doing, O God, finding favor and good understanding in your sight and the sight of men. I thank you, Lord, for that. Grant me good understanding. Good understanding. In all of my getting, in all of the getting of your people, in all of the getting of this ministry, Lord, oh God, we get understanding in you so that we all will truly care for people. Let us be a part of the answer, not a problem that faces our world. We receive grace to live life to the full. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. The next verse is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What heart is this? The heart that is embracing the word of God. Just trust God with all of your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Your own understanding is not the good understanding. It's an understanding, all right, but it's not good understanding. It says, trust God with all of your heart. Don't place your faith in your understanding on your factual information that you got from Fox News and CNN, CBC, and all the C's out there. Just trust God. You know, in life, some things look very obvious, but they are not the truth. Not the truth at all. But circumstantial evidence will find you guilty. And even yourself will find yourself guilty. If you were looking at the whole situation, says, yeah, I will say I'm guilty, but I know I'm not. I've been there. But when you lean onto your own understanding, you make the wrong decision. And this prayer focus is this: God, help me to make right decisions in life, to see things clearly and make right decisions. Why? I trust God. The God who knows everything, sees everything, understands everything, and knows what needs to be done, what needs to be said, how it needs to be said, how this prayer is going to be answered, what the solution to that particular situation is. So don't lean onto your understanding, just trust God. I get concerned for myself when I think I figured it out. When I start thinking, I figure out this problem is going to be solved. I push the brakes real quick. Okay, where did that come from? Is that me thinking I've got this thing solved? Or is that God speaking to me to let me know it is solved? I need to know because I've gotten myself into too many troubles thinking I know. For example, the year was 95. That's when we moved into this church. The church was took possession of it on April the 15th. And we had our first major service, opening service in May. Shortly after that, so between May and June, somebody had come, some young man, I don't know who this person is. If a person came today, I would not know him from Adam. We're just about where Bra Paul is. There, and he asked me, "This is a beautiful church." I said, "Yeah, it is. And God has really blessed you guys." I said, "Yeah, he has. He's been faithful." And he said to me, he said, "How long do you think it's going to take you to fill this church?" I said, "About 3 months." About 3 months. Now, based on the grace, the anointing of the word, the capacity, 3 months, that was a stretch. But as soon as I said it, about 3 months, I could hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, 3 months, eh? 3 months. Three months came, place was not full. A year came, it was not full. 5 years came, it was not full. Not full. I thought I knew what it takes. I was on television. Definitely that's going to help. Nice, beautiful building. Of course that's going to help. Good prison worship team. Of course that's going to help. There are so many pluses. But all that I had cannot make it happen if God doesn't make it happen. You understand? That's leaning onto your own understanding. What you think you've got. I got $20. I can buy this. I got $1,000. I can buy that. Well, I got $1,000,000. I can buy that house over there. Good. And one day you go looking for your $1,000,000. And it's gone. Taking flight because all kinds of issues came up that you had no control over. You were basing everything that you're going to do based on what you think you have on hand. The best place for me to be is when I don't have anything on hand and I have to rely on God's glory, His provision. That's it. And even then, don't try to figure out, oh, this person is the person who's going, this person is going to give this amount, and this person is going to give this amount, and then the problem is solved. It's a lie. It doesn't happen that way. Person that you think doesn't have a dime to rub together is the one that's going to give you so much. And you say, this guy? And the one you thought is going to give you something gives you zero. With an eye and a nose and a mouth and ears put on it. Now, you're going to fault that person? How dare you don't support me? Blah, 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 blah. No, it's not their responsibility. It's not about them. So you don't look at anybody. This person is going to do this and this. No, you can ask. You can encourage. But you don't place your faith there, and therefore you don't know what kind of issues they are facing. Person can be driving a nice car, wearing nice clothes, and they can hardly get one hamburger to eat. They're living on past glory. You don't know what issues they're facing, and now you're judging them? Come on, give yourself a break. Give them a break. And just celebrate each other and just thank God for every day. Amen? Let's pray. God, help me to not lean on my own understanding, but just trust you. Help me to trust you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord, for the grace to trust you, to rely on you, and not rely on what information I have or don't have, what resources I have or don't have, but just simply rely on you. Because sometimes we place our faith on people, this person's going to do this and that person's going to do that, and they disappoint, and they should. Because we're placing faith in them rather than on you. So Lord God Almighty, we receive directives, guidance, provision, peace and prosperity, favor and goodness, mercy and truth, the fulfillment of your word into our lives, so that we do not sin against you, but glorify you, Most High God. Thank you for all that you are to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We'll do two more. And while we're going to do those two, please be reminded about the meetings coming up, starting on Thursday. It's coming Thursday. God will do something extraordinary for us. Something just amazingly powerful. I see the hand of God, how he's systematically putting things together. He's telling a story. And we want to be part of that story that he's telling and what he's manifesting. The Word of God says, in all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord. In all that you're doing, acknowledge God. And it says, and he shall direct thy paths. He will direct your path. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. What does this mean to us? God directing our paths. It's one thing for him to direct our steps. It's another thing for him to direct our path. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet. What is God saying? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That means that when you're acknowledging him, he makes a way for you. You see, your enemy can be right at that junction waiting for you, right there, because he knows that the only way you're going to get out of where you are to get to where you want to go, you have to come through that junction. But while you're acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, God cuts a pathway out over here and you show up on the other side of that junction. But if you did not acknowledge him, you walk right into the trap. How many times have God delivered me from traps? You know how many people have lost their hair because of me? They're pulling their hair out, wondering, how did he escape that one? This trap was set. We had everything in order. But the Lord took me this way. You know those guys that said, well, we've taken an oath and we're not going to eat until Paul dies. Those guys are still fasting. They died fasting because Paul did not show up for them. He was long gone. So shall you and I escape all of the plans of the enemy. Hallelujah. Escape. You know, you flow like water. You know, water is so fluid. Whatever container water gets into, it takes the shape of that container. And when you and I allow God, we take different shapes depending on the fact that we're acknowledging Him. We're acknowledging Him. You know, all kinds of things happen because God's grace is sufficient. Praise the Lord. So this day, we're going to pray this prayer. God, teach me the act of acknowledging you. Now, remember, acknowledging is not the fact that you are giving God information. Acknowledging Him means that you are honoring Him. You honor Him. Lord, if it were not for your grace and for your mercy, I will not be here. You're the one who's... Yes, I fasted. Yes, I prayed. Yes, I this. Yes, I that. But if you didn't do it, if you didn't answer, hey, I could have talked all I want. Nothing would have changed. You made it possible. You're the God who's meeting my needs. If you'd not caused it and made it possible for me to find favor in the sight of that man, wow, what would have happened? I would have been back in Nigeria, not here, if it was not the fact that we came to God. God, I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, when you go to that immigration office tomorrow, this is what you need to see. This is what you need to do. Ask me now for the manager. So I said, Lord, we ask you for the manager. We ask you to see the manager. And he directed. And he made sure that the manager is the one that we saw, or else would have been hauled off. But we knew the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We were speaking the word of God consistently. But what we needed that day was, let us see the manager. That's it. That was the answer. It was, yes, we quoted all of that. Yes, all of that was true. But the answer was going to be, let us see the manager. Directing my path. So I know what to say in season and out of season at all times. Because length of days I have. Amen? So there's no room for frustration. I'm so old already. I'm going to be an old maid. There's no such thing. No such thing. What I have is God's guidance and directives. Amen? Praise God. So let's ask God for that. God, teach me the act of acknowledging and honoring you in every decision I make or need to make. Praise the Lord. Pray it. Lord, you know what decisions need to be made on a daily basis, the right and the wrong. You're the God of the turnaround. And Father, we come before you right now and just ask that you have full charge and full control. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We acknowledge you. Thank you, Lord, for the act, the knowing, the understanding of the purpose of honor and acknowledgement. May our lives be fully impacted in a glorious way because we acknowledge you and you're directing our path. We're not living a life of frustration. We're living a life filled with peace, passes all understanding. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. We'll wrap up with Psalm 119 and verse 11. The Word of God says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We started with the importance of the Word of God. We wrap it up today with the same. Help me to hold on to your Word. When we hold on to the Word of God, we do not fall under the hypnosis of sin. We are able to resist. We are able to overcome. This verse of Scripture is so important, and especially in the day and time that we live in. The year was 89, December the 31st. The Lord has spoken to me about what he captioned at that time, the decade of destiny. We're coming to the year 1990. And he said, this is the decade of destiny. A lot of things are going to happen within these 10 years. It's going to impact things that are going to happen down the line. This was when God spoke to me about China. At that time, China was nowhere. Told me what China was going to become. This is the time God spoke to me about man creating a man. And I said, I rebuke you, devil. I said, I'm not the devil, you can't rebuke me. I said, what do you mean man is going to create a man? I said, man is going to create a man. What? Why? Only you, God, creates. I said, you want me to go tell people this? He said, yes. So show me the scripture. And just as quickly. And I'm not good at, you know, true confession, I'm not very good at spitting out scripture passages. I know it's there. I know how to find it. But I'm not very good. So when the Lord speaks a scripture verse to me, and it's there, just like he said, I know this is God. Revelation 13. It's 18. Talks about the beast that is able to speak. Talks about the number of the beast. I believe the 16th verse says this. It says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Watch this. Watch what verse 15 says. That's the verse that the Lord spoke to me about. He quoted it right there. 13:15. I read the other ones for you so that you know exactly where we are. He says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And I said, this is supposed to be a computer in Brussels. That's what everybody was saying. That's what the prophecy book writers were saying. It's this over there. Just like we, you know, talk about how messed up we've been because we don't hear God. And I understand why God said to me, don't you dare teach anything from the book of Revelation until I show you and teach you. They don't know what they're talking about, and you don't know what you're talking about. When you think about the nations and the kingdoms and, you know, the confederacy, we think the so-called renewed Roman system, empire. People were not thinking about the different mega companies, corporations, as the kings that are going to control things. Thinking about, well, it's got to be that nation over there. God is talking about Babylon. That's about corporations. You think your government is controlling something? No, there are corporations controlling stuff. And the governments are using corporations to control stuff. Soon we're going to find out. Well, so was that beast. God said, this is what's going to happen. I said, wow. Scary stuff. But we are coming to the time where we have to have. And the reason I started telling you this story to come here was one of the things the Lord showed to me during that particular time. I saw a room and I saw a woman sitting on a chair, almost like a dentist's chair, you know, with her legs out and just resting there. And here comes this man, this gown. And he takes this thing like a helmet and puts it on the head of the woman. And all of a sudden, I see this red light just come on, right in the center there. And turns off. It takes the cap off and sends the woman off. So I said, Lord, what was that? What was I seeing? What were you showing to me? And he said, you know something called inner healing? I said, yeah, I know about inner healing. He said, okay. See that woman there? Who was sitting in that chair? I said, yeah. He said she had issues, abuses in her life that have basically handicapped her emotionally. He said when that helmet was put on her head and that light came in, it erased memory in her subconscious. So I said, oh, that's good. That's very good. So it would be like she'd never had a problem. The Lord said, yeah. I said, that's excellent. That's great technology. He said, but the day is coming when they're going to take you as Christians into rooms like that and put that helmet on your head because they want to erase me out of you. You guys are problem people. Let's erase this Jesus thing out of your head. He says, but what they don't know is that thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. He says, they can't erase me from you when you've got my word in you. That word there is so important now for every one of us. Get the word of God inside of you. Because if you don't have him here in the core of your person, the day is going to come that they will try to get you brainwashed to get Jesus out of you. But they cannot, because Jesus is not in your brain. It's beyond that. It's in your spirit. Amen? So this prayer in closing is going to be, Lord, help me to be genuinely connected to you so that nothing breaks my will to serve you in spirit and in truth. Help me to be so connected to you, aligned to you, that nothing is able to break my will to stay connected to you. You get it? Pray. Lord, help me to be genuinely connected to you so that nothing breaks my will to serve you in spirit and in truth. It is those that the Lord Jesus comes seeking after. Lord, help us. Let your word be so deeply ingrained into our spirit, our soul, our bodies, that we are not deterred from following you wholeheartedly, worshiping you with all of our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions, our thoughts, everything aligned to grace. Thank you, Lord, for this. And thank you, Lord, O God, for the success of the conference coming up. Lord, your anointing is going to flow mightily. Everything is going to fall in its proper order. Lives are going to be transformed, minds renewed, glory made manifest in this house. We acknowledge you. We give you all the praise, all the glory. And we trust you for the miracles that you are going to bring about in us and through us because of the presence of your everlasting word. Thank you, Lord, for a genuine connection, a genuine alignment, a genuine commitment to your vision and purpose, lived out on a daily basis. For we glorify you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you so very much for coming. Let us honor God with our giving at this time and just let him know how much we appreciate him. May the God who we love and serve touch sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in faith that may be going through difficult experiences right now for whatever reason. The reality is that things happen to fellow believers that are not understandable. But we can trust God. He says we ought always to pray and not faint, and that He will respond speedily. So in my old words, speedify, Lord, speedify. We need God. Amen. Let's honor God with our giving. And those of you that made a commitment for the large screen, and you know, we started with the large screen, but there's going to be a lot of changes in here. This whole expanse here is going to be one big large screen that, you know, is going to make it possible that every time you come to church, you're coming into a different building, because it's not going to be the same background all the time. It's going to just be an amazing experience. We're changing this whole frontage is going to change. The stage is going to change. And because of all the changes, we might just be also changing all of this. So it's a major project. Huh? A domino effect. Yeah, the domino effect, yes. Yeah. You know, I love the way the Lord does His things. He says, I want you to do this. And then when you start that, you find out, yeah, there's more to it, this, doing that. There's more to it. Amen. Well, it's a very big project, but it is all by faith. You know, I wouldn't dare think of doing something like that if I was looking in the natural. I won't even think of it. But God has His plans. I think this is the beginning of something. You know, He's starting out with something, because He has something bigger on the other side of this mountain. And so we walk with Him. We just flow with Him. So it's going to take a lot of sacrificing to get it done. It's not going to be, well, this is my $25 towards that. No, $25 is not going to do this. We're going to dig deep, every one of us, you know, to accomplish this vision. And the Lord knows who will be doing what. And we thank God for each one that's going to do what they got to do. Amen. And in a few months, it will be there. Praise the Lord. It's there already. It's there. I know it's there because a month or so, one of the prayer meetings, I could see it. You know, it's a download from the Spiritual Warfare Conference. I think that's, you know, downloading it from the spiritual realm. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So everything that is. Amen. Let's see the video. Roll it.
No matter what has happened in your past, your story is not finalized. Don't quit or give up. God remains faithful and He has the final say. There is a lifting up in God. Now is your time, your turn for your lifting to higher ground, your change of status. Get connected to your God destiny. August 19th to the 21st, 6:30 p.m. daily.
See it on the big screen? All of that.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Prosper in Him. And those of you watching online, you may not know all that we're talking about. But if God speaks to you to join with us to see this accomplished, do obey the instruction of the Lord, and He will greatly bless you for your help and your partnership. Be blessed and be highly favored. And good night. Love you.